Yeah, that theme song always puts me in the mood. Always in the mood to entertain you. That's my job. Steve Charney's the name. Comedy's the game. And the name of the program is Knock on Wood. Yeah. But I always have help, you know, because I can't do it myself. So Robert Klein's going to help us today, and Monty Python, and let's see. I don't know if I'm going to play Garrison Keillor. I can't find the cut that I was looking for, but, you know, I don't know if I can find it in the record library. I'll dig it out. And we're going to start off with Sesame Street, The Things I Love, done by The Grouch, so you know it's kind of funny. Harry's going to be in, and... So here we go, you know, let's put on your safety belt because it could be a rough ride.
These are the things I love.
The things he loves.
A rusty auto by a blue lagoon.
A blue lagoon.
And poison ivy in the month of June. The sound of robins singing out of tune. These are the things I love.
He loves.
The taste of ketchup on my apple pie.
His apple pie.
The sound of fire engines passing by. A baby's face when it's about to cry. These are the things I love. I love each snowflake that turns to mud.
Oh, my God.
A lazy river where there's a flood.
Oh, flood.
A broken flower, a dog with fleas.
With fleas.
Who could hate things like these?
Oh.
Is there a traffic jam on Lover's Lane? A shiny rainbow with a lot of rain. And folks who push you on the subway train. These are the things I love. I love a fly-in, my lemonade.
Buzz, buzz.
The sound of raindrops on a parade.
Da, 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 da.
A grand piano without the strings.
The strings.
These are a few of my favorite things. A broken doll that you can never mend.
Can never mend.
The Christmas cards that I refuse to send.
Refuse to send.
A chance to quarrel with a favorite friend. These are the things I love.
Oh.
These are the things I love.
The things he loves.
Yeah, you can always count on Oscar the Grouch. Okay, Harry's here.
Yes, Dave, I'm here.
Yeah, since the beginning of the show, I got something in my tooth. Must be a particle of food left over from lunch or something.
Yeah, so?
Can you... Come here a second.
What?
Hold out your hand.
What do you want with my hand?
Stay still. There we go. Ouch!
Ah! You just pulled off a piece of my finger!
I needed a toothpick. There we go. Yeah. I think it's out. Is it out, Harry?
What's the matter with you? You can't just be pulling off pieces of me.
Hold out your hand again.
What? Ouch! You did it again!
I might need a toothpick for later. I'll keep this in my pocket.
That hurt.
It did not. You're a puppet. You're a dummy.
I am not a dummy. I'm a wooden American, and I have rights too, you know.
No, you don't. Now, where's my pocket knife?
I hid it.
You what?
You're not going to whittle my finger the way you did last time, so I took the liberty of hiding your knife.
Look, don't see it as me whittling your finger to make a bunch of toothpicks. See it as me trimming your nails. When was the last time you had your nails clipped?
My nails don't grow.
Sure they do. All of you grows. Why, I remember when I adopted you. You were so young then. Just an infant, really. There you were in the wooden orphanage. Really nothing more than a toothpick yourself. And I took you home and nursed you and nurtured you, and you grew. You grew all right into the monster that stands before me now.
I started out as a toothpick?
Sure. You were so small and vulnerable when I picked you out from the others at the dummy orphanage.
Were we all that small?
Well, some of the dummies were bigger than you. Some were more like pencils. Some as big as ping pong paddles already. But there was something about you that I was attracted to.
The toothpick aspect of me.
You know how much I like toothpicks, And I saw your potential, that you were just one toothpick now, but someday you'd grow big enough to supply me with several. That's why I adopted you, and you've reached your full potential. There must be hundreds of toothpicks available to me now on you. So don't fight your destiny, Harry. Let me have my pocket knife.
You know, you're a sicko.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another edition of What Do You... A new radio quiz game loosely based on all the old radio quiz games. The rules are very simple. We shall ask a team of two personalities, Lord Elpis...
Hello.
...and the Deaconess of Detroit...
Hello.
...a series of questions in either category, or special category. If they get it right, they get a... And if they get a wrong answer, they get a... from the studio audience. At the end of the contest, they will hear this, and they must stop immediately. At any point in the proceedings, they may be given a... which means they can ask for another question, or if they hear a... it's the fire alarm. When they want to interrupt a... or a... but not a... question, they must press their special buttons. Lord Elpis, will you press yours? And Deaconess, yours. If they get it right, they get 15 points on the scoreboard here, 4 letters on the radio blackboard for each correct part, and a shot from our mystery gunner. Like so. In the event of a tie, I shall start the clock. So, and there will be a choice of either a... or a... for the first of either the contestant or the contestant who can make the golden word Birmingham from his 4 letters. And he will get a... which will mean he's this week's winner. Right, well, those very simply are the rules. We'll be back again same time next week. Till then, goodbye from Lord Elpis.
Goodbye.
The Deaconess of Detroit.
Bye.
And from me, it's...
And now, a message from the Swedish Prime Minister.
Today on Silly Noises, our two teams are the Bournemouth and District Amateur Gynecologists, who take on our visitors today from Goole in Yorkshire, the Humber and District Catholic River Wideners Club. And it's Bournemouth's turn to choose the first subject. Bournemouth.
Clay pigeon shooting, please.
No, Goole?
History?
Yes, well done, Goole. And so Goole got a point ahead in Silly Noises this week, and here's history. What famous 19th century foreign minister made this noise when you pushed him?
Lord Aberdeen?
Yes, 3 points. And now, Bournemouth?
Yes?
Wrong. The answer was a pederast. No points there. Goole, your second history question. What European treaty was signed to the sound of this?
The Franco-Prussian Alliance of 1821?
Yes, indeed. No mistaking that. Now, Bournemouth, you ready?
Yes.
No bad luck. Rather a difficult one. No points. And so, with Goole leading by 7 points to nil, we're going to suddenly stop the game.
Good evening. Tonight, dinosaurs. I have here, sitting in the studio next to me, an elk. Oh, I'm sorry, an elk. Mrs. An Elk.
Miss.
Miss An Elk, who is an expert
no,
on
no,
the...
No, no, an elk.
What?
An elk, not an expert.
No, no, I was saying that you, Miss Elk, were an A-N, not A-N-N-E expert.
Oh.
On elks. I'm sorry, on dinosaurs.
Yes, I certainly am, Chris. How very true, my word, yes.
Now, Miss Elk, Anne, you have a new theory about the brontosaurus.
Can I just say here, Chris, for one moment, that I have a new theory about the brontosaurus?
Exactly. What is it?
Where?
No. What is your theory?
Oh, what is my theory?
Yes.
Oh, what is my theory that it is? Yes. Well, you may well ask, what is my theory?
I am asking.
And well, you may. Yes, my word, you may well ask what it is, this theory of mine. Well, this theory that I have, that is to say, which is mine... is mine.
I know it's yours. What is it?
Where? Oh, what is my theory?
Yes.
Ah, my theory that I have follows the lines that I am about to relate. The theory... by a elk. That's A for Anne. It's not by a elk.
Right.
This theory, which belongs to me, is as follows. This is how it goes. The next thing that I'm about to say is my theory. Ready? The theory by A.L. brackets, Miss brackets. My theory is along the following lines.
Oh, God.
All brontosauruses are thin at one end, much, much thicker in the middle, and then thin again at the far end. That is the theory that I have, and which is mine, and what it is too.
That's it, is it?
Right, Chris.
Well, Anne, this theory of yours seems to have hit the nail on the head.
And it's mine.
Thank you for coming along to the studio.
My pleasure, Chris.
Britain's newest wasp
farm... It's been a lot of fun.
Opened last
week... Saying
what
my theory is.
Yes, thank you.
And whose it is.
Yes, opened last week...
I have another theory.
Not today, thank you.
My theory number two, which is the second theory that I own. This theory...
Shut up!
...is what I'm about to say...
Oh, please,
which,
shut up!
...with what I have said... are the two theories that are mine and which belong to me.
If you don't shut up, I shall shoot you.
My basic theories, which I possess the ownership of, which belongs to me... the theory the second by...
Monty Python. This is Knock on Wood. I'm Steve Charney. That was three by Monty Python. Just kept letting the record go. You never can get too much of Monty Python. If you're tuning in late, I was telling Harry how I adopted him from the dummy orphanage when he was young.
I was nothing more than a mere toothpick.
That's right. You were so young, just a few weeks old, really. And I took that toothpick home, named him Harry, and I fed him and held him and rocked him until he grew.
You must look pretty funny rocking a toothpick.
Well, you grew quickly. Soon you became as big as a letter opener.
You must look pretty funny rocking a letter opener.
I did. In fact, I lost most of my friends as a result. They thought I was quite mad... But I didn't care, because I knew that someday you'd grow into a full-formed dummy, and we would go on the road together and make our fortune.
How patient you must have been.
Sure. Back then I wasn't practicing ventriloquism. You were too small for that. I had to open letters for a living.
So even then I was of use to you?
Well, at least until you grew larger and became a rolling pin. That's when I got into baking.
I had no idea I was a rolling pin once.
Well, you were too young to remember. Only a year old or so. But I would roll you back and forth across the dough until the rocking motion put you to sleep. You were so cute back then. Then you grew into a chocolate cake.
Ah, chocolate cake. That's... Wait a second! Back up here!
What?
How can I become a chocolate cake? That's not made of wood.
What's your point?
That doesn't make any sense! A chocolate cake!
Oh, and a toothpick, letter opener, and rolling pin make sense.
Well, kind of. At least I was made of wood back then.
Well, I decided to take it further. It's my script. I can do anything I want with it.
You're going to alienate the listeners.
You mean listeners are going to turn into aliens?
They might. They keep listening to you, they'll sprout antennas and start looking like E.T.
And that's bad.
Steve, if even one kid turns into an alien, you know that the show's going to be canceled.
Well, maybe you're right.
Anyway, me turning into a chocolate cake just doesn't make sense. It's surreal.
Okay. You grew into a baseball bat. Are you happy?
Thank you. And I'm sure the listeners thank you. Now they don't have to go through life with three eyeballs and radiating who knows what out of their second nose. A baseball bat, that I can live with, and so can they.
You did. I played a lot of softball with you.
I vaguely remember that.
I have home videos of you. It was about then I tried to make you talk. It was the very beginning of my career as a ventriloquist.
You must look pretty silly trying to make a baseball bat talk.
I did. In fact, I was kicked off the team, and no one would talk to me. But it was worth it, because I knew that someday I'd have you as you are now.
What did I grow into after the bat?
A really big water balloon.
Stop that!
What?
There you go again! Stay on track here!
I'm bored with this wood stuff. I want to be more goofy.
I don't care. It's too goofy.
Hey, it's my show. It's my script. I wrote this thing. If I want you to grow into a water balloon, that's my privilege.
I forbid it.
All right, you turned into an Adirondack chair. There. Are you happy?
No, that can't be. That's bigger than I am now.
Well, I know. I had to whittle you down to make you the dummy you are today.
That's stupid.
But you kept growing. Soon you were as big as a shed. Oh, I tried. But it was a losing battle. I hacked at you with an axe to keep you at a reasonable size. You were really getting heavy for my knee, you know. But you grew. You grew. Soon you were as big as a silo. I had to use chainsaws to make...
Will you stop it?
What?
You're way over the top here.
I thought it was fun.
Well, it's not. No one appreciates you just talking nonsense.
Oh, I get it. And sitting in this room changing my voice back and forth to give the illusion that another person or puppet is in the room isn't nonsense. Adopting you from an orphanage isn't nonsense. Having you start out as a toothpick isn't nonsense.
All right, we all get your point. If you want to go in that outlandish direction, go ahead.
Thank you. So there you were as a chocolate cake, and you soon grew into an even larger bowl of fruit. The banana was your nose, and the apples were your cheeks, and the...
I have a long television history. I was originally on the Ted Mack Amateur Hour, no kidding. When I went to Dewey Clinton High School in the Bronx there, I had a rock and roll group. We were called the Teen Tones. And it was 1956, 57. We used to sing in the toilet over in the school for the echo. I love you, so are we you. I love you, so whole, so whole. You always sang in a lisp when you sang a 50s lead. I love you, so oh, darling, can't you see? Now, we got cocky in that, do we? Hey, let's record. Come on, let's record. We sound good. Let's record. Come on, well, let's record. Unfortunately, we could not find a record company executive to come to the toilet to hear us. And we only sounded great in the toilet, you know? Anywhere else we sang, we sounded like we were singing in a toilet. I can't explain. The toilet, it sounded like a recording studio, you know? So we had to settle for the Ted Mack Amateur Hour, which were on in 1957. We sang Sunday Kind of Love fast. I want a Sunday kind of love. Ba, ba, ba. We were defeated by a one-armed pianist. Interesting voting, too. I had a cousin that kept on calling up and tried to... Hello, one vote for the Teen Tones, please. You know, thank you very much. Hello, one vote for the Teen Tones, please. Kept on changing her voice. So one time she figured there must be a lot of people, so she tried this. Hello, I'm calling for my girls' club. Can we have 12 votes for the Teen Tones, please? Thank you very much. Hello, this is the tuberculosis ward at Montefiore Hospital. Can we have 126 votes for the Teen Tones, please? They're just fabulous. Thank you. Hello, this is the third-tiered Yankee Stadium calling. 14,000 votes for the Teen Tones, please. Thank you very much. Hello, this is the governor of Utah calling. It's unprecedented. 600,000 votes for the Teen Tones. And 38 votes for the one-armed pianist. He's also marvelous. Thank you. I love the harmonica. It's a neat, nifty little instrument. Every Civil War movie... There's always a night before the battle, gathered round the campfire, a guy playing the harmonica sing. Where are you from, boy? Virginia, sir. Sir. You ever been in a battle before? No, sir, but I'm aiming to. Boy? Yes, sir. You better stop playing the harmonica. One time, just idly, I was sitting in bed, and I put it in my mouth and breathed. And it played a tune like my breathing. No hands and breathe. And I thought to myself, this would make a hell of a nurse's aide. If a guy is sick in the hospital, a nurse can slip one of these in his mouth, hear how he's breathing, go away, play cards. Any problem, she hears right away, musically. Shoves the oxygen in his mouth and saves him. If he should happen to expire... I love that word. That's what hospital... I'm sorry he expired yesterday at 2 p.m. Is that pomposity? I'm sorry he expired yesterday. You don't know if it's a man or a library card. I'm sorry he expired. What's it tell? Can we still bring the candy? I want to die. I don't want to expire. At least if he expires, it ends on a nice exhale. A major chord. Very final sounding. Take it out. The exhale is out. It's perfect, you know. You can go out your own way. A little pompous, a little style. It's a whole lifetime, after all. Funky. Funky.
Robert Klein. Done a long time ago. But it's like a fine wine, just gets better with age. Okay, this is Knock on Wood, and I'm Steve Charney. Harry and I have been discussing this orphanage where I adopted him from. You know, back when he was a mere toothpick. If you're tuning in late, I'm just kind of, you know, bringing you up to date here.
Right, Steve. I was a mere toothpick, but you chose me over all the other toothpicks.
That's right. There was something about you. I picked up other toothpicks, but their ends were dull, and they tended to soil their cribs.
How so?
With sap. But you looked so cute with your little toothpick diaper. Your ends were sharp, and you were sanded down beautifully.
A diaper for a toothpick?
Sure. It was spring, and the sap was flowing. You needed a diaper.
What was the orphanage like where you adopted me?
Oh, it was lovely. It was in Europe.
You went to Europe to find me?
Sure. People came from all over the world. You know, in America, it can be hard to find a dummy who doesn't already have a ventriloquist. That's why ventriloquists go to Europe. There are lots of ventriloquistless dummies.
Did you really just use the word ventriloquistless?
Yes.
I'm impressed.
You see, ventriloquists in Europe often find themselves in dire straits. It's not like here where ventriloquism is a thriving art. They can't make a living because it's frowned upon. I don't know why. Perhaps it's harder to talk without moving your lips in, let's say, the Albanian language or something. So they give their dummy up to the wooden orphanage, and they hope they'll find a good home. That's where I found you. But you have to be very careful, you know. Some orphanages are a bit shady.
Well, what do you mean?
I know one ventriloquist who went to adopt a dummy, and all he ended up with was a matchstick.
A matchstick isn't going to grow into a puppet?
He didn't know that. They told him it was a toothpick, and the head of the match was a hat. So he spent good money adopting this match. He took it home with him, nurtured it for months, and it never grew.
Not like me. I grew.
Sure. We already went over that on a previous page of the Stopey sketch.
So what happened?
Nothing. The match didn't grow. But that didn't matter. The ventriloquist still loved his match, as if it was a full-grown dummy.
But how does he make it talk?
He doesn't. They communicate on a deeper level. He loves his match, and his match loves him.
Would you love me, even if I stayed a toothpick?
Of course I would, Harry. Come on. Give me a kiss.
Aw. Ow! I just got a splinter. That's not a splinter, Steve. That's a toothpick.
Dad came home from work one night. He huffed and he puffed. Nothing was right. No chance of dinner was in sight. Everyone was yelling, "Dad's mad, the kids are bad." The baby spilt the cola. Everybody poker.
Someone your own size.
Who made a crate to be crazy? Who made a crate to be crazy? Giddy and silly the whole day through. Who made a crate to be crazy? Who made a crate to be crazy? Who made a crate to be crazy? Giddy and silly and fun and stern. Moving and grooving and happy and slutting. Singing and wacking the whole day through. Who made a crate to be crazy?
Produced at the Knockonwood Studios in Woodstock, New York. The show is written and produced by Steve Chorty. SteveChorty.com has lots of videos of Steve and myself, as well as jokes, an email address, sales page, info about our live stage shows, and lots more. And if you visit WGXC.org, click on Archives, and type in Knock on Wood, you can listen to previous Knock on Wood programs.